Abundant Life Foursquare Church presents to you a message of hope, grace, and power of Jesus. We trust that you will be inspired by the Word of God as we grow together in Christ.
You know, sometimes we forget the joy of just being able to gather with God's people. And you know, as I was thinking about this morning, and you know, I said this first service, but I really mean it when I look around and I see like Tom and Jessica back here and Craig and Ben, and I see people that I know. You know, it's wonderful to be able to come in on a day like today and to look at your faces and to recognize people that I know that I can connect with and that I can worship Jesus with, that I know that there's something that we have in common. There's a lot in life that is diverse and that we don't have necessarily in common, but there is so much that we have in common, and it's a joy to be able to come and to worship together. It's a gift, and I want to take a moment just to welcome all that are joining us online this morning. The opportunity to gather together is the larger body of Christ. Amen? You know, it was nice to hear from Pastor Steve this morning, and I do just want to, again, to praise God that his surgery went flawless. You know, we preach and we speak a lot about what it means to walk in faith. And so I want you to connect with this little bit. Pastor Steve did everything that his doctor said to do, did everything that his surgeon said to do. And he walked that out in faith, asking God to heal and to bring healing. And this is the way that God's chosen to bring healing. And so that is not a lack of faith, and that is not God not caring and moving. It's God doing what God does for the reasons that he understands that we may not always comprehend. But God calls us to walk in faith, and Pastor Steve gave us a testimony this morning that says, this surgery went flawlessly. Amen? And then he covets our prayers while he continues the recovery process. And that's what it means to walk as a body, as a family. This morning, we want to talk about how to engage. Colossians 3:17 says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you say that with me? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, engage means to participate in. Engage means to become involved in. Really what that means, it means to take action. Engage means that we do something. In Colossians 3:17, how much does it say that we're supposed to engage in Jesus' name? All. What is all? Do you think that to come today and to worship, that could be all? That we're to give everything that we have in worship today to do this in the name of Jesus? How about being a carpenter in the name of Jesus? Would that be doing all in the name of Jesus? Absolutely, that would be doing everything in the name of Jesus. See, when it says do all in the name of Jesus, it talks about this idea. You can love God in the name of Jesus. You can love God with all of your heart. You can become the best spouse that there is, because you're doing it in the name and the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. You can become the best parent, and you can parent in the name of Jesus. You can worship. You can serve. You can be the world's greatest plumber in the name of Jesus. You can be an engineer in the shipyard in the name of Jesus. See, this is about your heart. This is about what motivates me to do what I'm doing. What is it that I'm trying to accomplish? Am I just earning a paycheck? Or am I representing the only person that gave every part of his life for me? Am I representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that not only created all the universe, but then stepped down to become man so that we could connect? We need to do all in the name of Jesus. We need to ask ourselves, is my goal to do everything I do for the glory of God? Because that is what it means to engage. See, our mission at Abundant Life is to be a Christ-centered church, that everything that we do is in alignment with the Word of God. Everything that we do is in alignment with the principles of God, and that we're here to bring honor and glory to Him, not ourselves. We are a Christ-centered church glorifying God in all that we do. And then we are committed to building believers toward personal maturity and communicating the truths of Jesus Christ. That's my job description as a pastor, is that I am here, Pastor Steve is here, your pastoral staff is here to equip the body of Christ to do ministry into this community, amen? That we are the ones that to equip, but then we do this together by all participating through active participation in the things we do, like our OBI, our classes, our back-to-school fair, our missions trips, all the things that we do. At Abundant Life, we are committed to reaching our community, and we're committed to reaching the nations with the redemptive love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you know that that flies in the face of the enemy? It does. That there, we are engaged in a warfare, and there will never be a truce. And you know why? Because the enemy already knows his fate. And his sole ambition is to damage and destroy all of God's creation that he can before the end of his time. And so his heart is to destroy every believer or every good work or everything of God that he can destroy. There will never be a truce. And this is why in Joel 3 it says, proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. And how do we prepare? We prepare by fasting. That's why we're doing what we do on Wednesdays. That's why we have this time set aside for fasting that's every Wednesday, and it's going to continue going until Jesus tells us to stop, and I don't think that's going to happen. And it certainly isn't going to happen anytime soon. See, we're to stand in the gap, and we're to fast and to pray. Another way that we prepare for war is to pray, to get into the Word, to worship, to be a part of community. To be a part of community through things like our real life groups, our military ministry, our Christian education. Be part of that through Olympic Bible Institute. To do all the things that we know how to do to prepare for war. And we should prepare because God gave us a word and has promised us the Kitsap Peninsula. A word given to us a few years ago was based in Joshua 1:3. That says that every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. And so we started prayer walks and prayer rides and prayer drives and prayer boat trips. So we took it, you know, one more step. Whatever we can do to put our feet someplace on this peninsula, we're doing that. And we're going to continue to do that. To engage is to take action on the Great Commission. Amen. Matthew 28 says this, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. That's to be obedient. That I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. To engage is to take action. And we are to engage against the strategies of the devil by putting on the armor of God. And we know where that is, right? Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. But I want to draw your attention to verse 18, because verse 18 is our marching orders. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. What is this end? Fulfilling the mission, the calling that God has given each one of us. To this end, with all perseverance, not giving up, and supplication for all the saints. If we're going to be about the mission of God, if we're going to be engaged in what it is that God has called us to do, if we're going to be engaged in the mission of Abundant Life Foursquare Church, then we need to ask ourselves several questions and to begin to meditate on the answers. Do I care about others' salvation? I got mine. I know where I'm going. But am I willing and do I genuinely care about the salvation of others? We need to ask ourselves the question, will I pray for the unchurched of Kitsap? Will I actually get on my knees, spend my hours in time in prayer? Will I actually do the work, or am I going to let somebody else do it and I'll just stand on the sidelines and kind of clap a little bit? You know, golf clap, that's good. Or will I engage in the battle? Will I invest in making disciples of all nations? Actually look outside of ourselves and fulfill what God has called us to do. See, our world is challenging us and trying to separate us from Jesus. Our world is trying to stop anyone, and make no mistake, the enemy is trying to stop even one more individual from coming to saving faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. That's his mission. But we must be engaged with Jesus. Nothing this world offers can help us. Our hope is only in Christ and him alone, amen, in our relationship with him. Let's tell the world about Jesus. Today we are focusing on our commitment to reaching the nations with the redemptive love of Christ. I've known Pastor Craig and Wendy since I first came here in 1995. And shortly after I came, they left. And they went to Vancouver and they became senior pastors, Vancouver, Washington, and they began to serve. And then they moved to another church in Ohio where, again, they served as senior pastors. But they knew that God was calling them to something. They stepped down and came back to pursue their heart's calling to missions. So can we welcome Pastor Craig to come and to share what God has placed on your heart to give to us this morning?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's an honor to be here. I'm glad to come and share with you. Pastor Steve asked me, he says, will you talk about missions? And I thought about it. Ran right over here. It was Saturday morning. He tricked me. I was so excited about it. So to tell you that I'm always excited to talk about missions, and I'm always ready to talk about missions no matter what, when, or how. So I was very excited about it because I love talking about what God does in people's lives. Amen?
Amen?
When I first came back, Pastor Steve tasked me to put together trips for people in the mission field. And he was very articulate to say, I want to make sure everyone has opportunities to go, to experience another world of believers and experience what God is doing in their lives, to come back and to share as we start to take, as we've been doing for Kitsap Peninsula, amen?
Amen?
And so, over the years, actually when I was here as a youth pastor, I was actually in charge of missions for a brief stint, and I came across actually the statistic about then. I've been watching it ever since. And so, that is the world population. Just so you know, don't tell anyone, the world population's growing. Who'd have thought, you know? And they started tracking this in 1908, and the numbers just are staggering. I mean, it's apparently we have figured this thing out. That's how we grow the world, right? So we got this thing going on. And then you look at the Christian population, it's going really good. In fact, if you look at it, it actually starts in 1908 and ends up in 2050. Gordon Cromwell University, they got some pretty smart people there to figure this out. And the 70s, you can look at it, you can't see it there. It really took off. That Jesus movement really got some stuff going there, I tell you. But I love this as it's going up because that means people are coming to Christ. People are being healed. People are being set free. People have a new life in Christ. That's awesome. Here's the one that should scare you. You put the two together, and it doesn't look so good, does it? Because if you look at it, they're pretty close way back in 1908. But then things started happening. People started having kids. And people started growing in life. But our Christian world slowed down. Why is that? Well, you can have lots of reasons. Main thing is, as Pastor Ken said, we are commissioned to go. It's not the great suggestion, it's a great commission. So as everyone is walks out of here today, you are commissioned to talk about Christ and to bring people to his throne, right? Amen. But if we're not growing that number, that means we're not doing our job. Now, how many have a job? You go to work on Monday somewhere doing something, right? You're tasked with something, whatever it is, right? And at the end of the day, hopefully you've done that, your boss is happy, right? Or he's like me, screaming and yelling and doing all the stuff I usually do. But at the end of the day, it's got to get done, right? And I tell you, when I used to be a machinist, and we would cut these parts, and they'd be on the floor, and it was great because I'd have all these parts right here when I was done, all these chips of what I made. It was awesome. When I went into ministry, it was the hardest thing in the world because I'd come home every day and say, I don't know what I did. All I did was talk to a bunch of kids, eat some pizza, and, you know, I had no way of measuring. So it's hard because you can't measure how people's lives are being impacted by what you're doing. So you can say, well, you know, Pastor Greg, I'm really sorry, but I blew it, and that chasm is all me. No, it's not you. And maybe you're saying, you know what? That chasm was created by those other countries because they're just out of control. They're just not doing their job. So here's another pie chart. I like pie charts. I like pie. If you look at this is the graphs of churches that are continents that are growing. Now, the biggest one you can't see because I'm an idiot and I made it too small. The biggest one is blue is Africa. Off the charts. If you look at any kind of church movement in Africa, they are growing exponentially. They can't even get buildings fast enough. They're taking off every 5 seconds. The next one down is Asia. Asia is growing. You know, obviously we're talking about populations as well growing, but within the church, they're keeping up with the growth part. And then you're looking over the grays, Latin America. I mean, Latin America, at one time I remember talking to a guy, they're planting almost 20 churches a day in South America. 20 churches. Now, the bad thing is, up here, it's not so much. Because if you look at this, the next color is yellow. That's the Oceania continents. And then you go to blue, the light blue, that's North America. That's us. Yay. And you're thinking, well, that's not good because we're actually very, very small. So we kind of stink in that department. The only redeeming thing is Europe stinks worse than us. They're actually that little sliver right up there. And they've been in trouble for a long time. So when it comes to our faith being reproduced, we're not doing so good at it. In fact, other countries are sending over their people to be missionaries for us. Could you imagine getting a knock on the door someday and there's some guy there and he goes, hey, I'm from Uganda. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. You're like, what? Whoa, where'd you come from? Because they are sharing their faith and they are doing their job in their own country. They are walking out the door and that's their mission field and their mission field is expanding and growing. Then they're saying, let's go to the States because they're not doing so good. Right about now, you should be kind of getting a gut punch, thinking, this is not good. But I have good news for you. This is a global thing, of course. And you think, okay, well, if the church isn't doing their job in the States, what's going on? The good thing is, here at Abundant Life, things are going good, amen?
Amen.
Things are going great. We are reaching people. We're doing incredible, awesome stuff, and we're going to do even more things. So the great thing is if we had a graph of Kitsap, which I don't, it'd be pretty cool because you are part of something. You are engaging your faith with your community. Amen? So how many of you ever sat through a missions message before? Can't they just be dry? You get a guy up there, he's got a slideshow, and he says, I wear a pith helmet and a machete, and I chop through woods, and it's a different world. I'm not here to tell you about missions in the sense of what it is. I'm not here to even tell you that if you go on a mission trip, you will change the world. Because you won't. You will change. And you will come home different. And that is how we change the world. Now, they're going to remember you. But if you're going there to have songs sung about you and statues made of you and things like that, it's not going to happen. They'll remember you. In fact, they know our team. We go up in the green shirts. They know all about us. But if you're saying, I want to go on a mission trip because I'm going to go and they're going to write about me, no. But I will tell you, if you're going on a mission trip, you will come back different. Yes. Because you will have seen people living in what you would call different than your environment, eating different food. You'll see people driving cars that you drove when you were, you know, I mean, not you drove as a kid, but you saw as a kid. You'll see all this stuff that you're thinking, how do people do life this way? And then the most amazing thing will be, because you're going to be broken. I tell you, every time I take a team, I say, once you walk out the airport, you'll be sick for about 2 days because you'll see just the horrific poverty. But I said that you'll see something on a Sunday that you'll never see here. And I get ready for this. I say, you're going to watch in. You're going to watch people just loving Jesus who you know are just like as you just drove through or struggling, but they love their Lord. And they're hopeless. I mean, these people are all about serving. They're out in the community. They're doing stuff. They're doing, I mean, they are just so involved in what they're doing. And so when you come back, you take that back with you, and you just, it's like a bad cold, man. You just want to spread that thing like crazy, right? You see, because if you go on a trip, you're going to go, you know, we don't stay at Hilton's, just so you know. You don't have 5-star meals. Here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a bed that there's a pillow, one blanket. There is 2 sheets, I believe, Ben, right? Yeah, sometimes. The beds are very hard, not quite as hard as the ground, but very hard. You'll have a shower. You'll have great food. I will not lie. The food is awesome, and you'll have the best coffee in the world. So that kind of weighs everything out, right? But the thing you're going to have that you'll never forget is when you walk into people's faces and talk to them and just look at them, and they'll ask the question, why'd you come? Because we're by the airport. They always think every plane is bringing us in. But no, we came in on just one plane. We don't come in and parachute in. But they always wonder, what's it like? What are you here for? Because we love them. We're there. We're committed to it. As a church, we are very committed to the school that we're going to talk about a little bit later on. And they're just blown away by that. So missions is really for you to have an encounter with someone in a different world that you can talk about Jesus or share about Jesus through words or lifestyle. You're going to come in, you're going to work, you're going to love them, you're going to do all these things. They're going to say, why are you doing this? Because Jesus loves me and I love you. So missions really is about an encounter. It's not about you going there and we're going to get a big old stadium and you're going to preach and all that stuff. It's really about you just sharing who you are about Christ in your life. Amen? But can I tell you that we don't like to share about our faith? Why is that? It's scary. You know why? Because you're going to talk and you're thinking, oh, they're not going to like me. They're going to think I'm crazy. They're, you know, da 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 da. Because really, if you're around people who don't know Christ and you start talking about Christ, really at the end of the day, you're a buzzkill. You know, they're doing their thing and you're talking about something. They're like, hey, I know about that, but I'm not doing that because it's like it's a discipline. It's like who likes to talk about diets? Anyone? You know, hey, I'm on a diet today. Look at that. That's the worst thing in the world, right? I don't want to do that. So when you talk about Christ, you're saying, hey, let me tell you about a new life that you can do, but you got to quit doing some of this other stuff, right? That's what it really comes down to. You are just talking about something that's hard for people to react to. And then now as the church is evolving, now we're seeing that even the younger generation are saying, well, we don't want to be talking about our faith. We want to people to see us and talk, you know, see all our things. And that's how we're going to have our outreach. They're just going to watch us. In fact, Barna has a new poll. It says the millennials agree that evangelism is important, but they don't want to push the religion on anybody. So if I was at the doctor's office and he said, hey, Mr. Mackey, just so you know, you have a 90% blockage of your heart, I got some ideas I want to share with you. But, you know, hey, don't make any big choices here today. I'm thinking, yo, dude, let's do this. I want to live for tomorrow, right? So why would we hold this back? You know, we always say, well, it's hard to talk to people. But think about this. Don't you want to talk about sports on Monday? You want to talk about the game, right? You're going to talk about your kids. You're going to talk about your vacation. You're going to talk about what you do for work. We always like to talk about stuff, don't we? So I'm going to tell you a little secret. I grew up here. Used to watch the Huskies all the time. I used to get free tickets. Still do, but different story. And so I moved to Portland right around time Chip Kelly came in to Oregon. And I started watching the football games there. I started really liking it. I started falling for the Ducks. I said, I think I can dig this. This is, hurry-up offense is awesome. I like what they're doing. You know, their momentum, they're going. Every down, they're getting 4 yards. You do your math, that's a pretty good thing, right? So I started watching it, and I just kind of became a Ducks fan, right? That was pretty good down there. You're pretty safe, right? Except for the Beaver fans, but no one really talks to them anyway. So I come up, my father's always busting my chops about it. Oh, whatever, you know, but I move up here and I'm still a Ducks fan, right? Because I'm not going to forget that. And so wherever I'm at, I'm in the middle of dog country or cougar country. And I actually went to Wazoo. My wife graduated from Wazoo. My son's going to Wazoo. So it gets some funny stuff, right? But the thing is, I'm used to people shouting out, oh, Ducks, you stink, you know, and always hear this, go Dogs. So I always say this. I'll just look. Okay, Homer, I got you. Who's the coach of your team? Who's your quarterback? You don't know anything about that school. No, you just associate with them. If you're really into something, you're going to know more about it, and you're going to want to talk to people. Because there's more Duck fans out there. I'll find it. We'll talk. We'll hang out. We'll share stuff. That's encouraging. But what I'm trying to say is this. I know what it's like to be in an environment where no one likes you. I've been in churches where I walk in, and I'm the only person that looks like me. It's a very interesting feeling. But when you're talking about your faith to other people and you're worried about it, how you're perceived or what's going to be happening, you got to trust that God is with you. He's going to give you the words to do what you got to do. Amen? Yeah. Well, today we're going to talk about a text you know well of. We're going to go to Mark chapter 2. And I want to share how this relates to missions. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you how we are going to apply your word to our lives to see how we can change not just the world, but our community, our city, our state, our region. Lord, let us go global, but start with our back door. So, Lord, give us wisdom as we look to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So you've seen this story before. I'm going to bring it up a little bit different for you, but turn to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to read on. It says, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so there was no room to receive him, not even by the door. And he preached the word to them, and they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they uncovered the roof where he was, so they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Great story. And when you heard the story, you know, at a young age, you probably saw this picture. Okay, well, not that picture yet. So a little bit of background. This is probably what the house looked like. It was. They think it's Peter's house. Peter wasn't rolling too good back in those days, so he didn't have a big courtyard like everybody else. You know, he was just doing his thing, right? He was probably in ministry, so he was strapped, right? So the laughter goes, huh? So this is what it looked like, probably a flat roof, probably a bigger roof somewhere else, but the smaller roof is over the bigger part. There's probably steps going up because you're wondering how they get up there. There's no elevators, you know. Imagine trying to get a guy up there on a bed, not so good. This is kind of what you're looking like. But we always think of this picture. Have you ever seen this picture before? Now, how many people have ever worked around wood? There's a few, right? I love this picture because you just don't do demo like this. You just punch through a roof. And first of all, they never had planks like this. Look at these planks, the shiplap planks over there on these nice beams. There's no Home Depot in Israel, let me tell you that much. So, but everyone's clean. There's no dust coming down. There's no debris. Peter be like, on my roof. I got to call the roofer now. You know, none of this is going on. They're all just sitting there like, okay, it's cool. He's going to pray for them. They're going to zip him back up, and he's gone, right? That's how we perceive this story. But can I tell you, the story's a little messy. It's messy because if you look at the next slide, I like this picture because you can see some pretty rough, I won't call them logs because they're not from the Northwest. They're going to be a lot of sticks. And they had some kind of a main log going across and a bunch of little logs through there. But what held the roof together to keep the water from coming in would be mud over branches and then more branches, more mud, more branches. Very primitive, very, very primitive. But again, they weren't really in a area like us where it's really rainy a lot. It's mostly to keep things from falling in at you, like a person in a bed, right? So look at how they cut this up. I mean, this is all broken up, and they're just bringing this guy down. It's a darker room. They don't have lighting down there. You know, it wasn't like they got LEDs going on or something. And they're just like, what's happening? So for a moment, I want you to think about missions for a second. It's not very pretty. It's a little messy. It's a little bit out there. And I have four things I want to talk to you about that, but I want you to grasp this a moment where here's Jesus just preaching away. Peter's loving it. He's at his house. Place is packed out. Boom, this roof, and we know it had to come in. Roofs don't implode going out unless you have dynamite or whatever. So everything had to come down. If you were right here, just, I mean, right there, and it lands and everything comes on you, you might be a little bit upset. You might be even concerned. Or if you're a structural guy, you're thinking if that thing just broke loose, what else is coming loose? You know, so you're thinking all these things through, but next thing you know, some dude comes down on a bed and Jesus just simply says, I saw their faith. Now you're healed. You see, it wasn't the fact of what he was there that got him saved. It was the fact that he saw their faith. He saw them in action. They said, this guy needs your help. Will you do something? You see, church, missions is about bringing people to an encounter with Jesus. Amen. Now, we don't cut roofs. I will not tell you that. Pastor Steve has told us we cannot cut any roofs. But we do things to bring people to encounter with Christ. Most important thing is we raise up locals and let them, who they can obviously speak way better than us, be a light in their community. And we are empowering them with what they do. But I love this story because, I mean, all this happens. And Jesus, I tell you, if I was cruising around with him, I would just write down stuff that he says, like someone already did already, right? But I would just write down the quippiness of what, he's got a really good sense of humor. He doesn't even look at the guy, you know. He's like, hey, you guys, I saw that you have faith, therefore you are healed. He didn't address the fact that everyone's spreading over, they're thinking termites are causing, you know, chaos, and, you know, they got to get a, you know, something going on up there. He doesn't worry about the chaos. He's just like, hey, your sins are forgiven, you're good. Why can't we be like that, church? You know, we'd be looking at us going, well, I got to think about that. I don't know about this whole roof caving in thing, and I got to go talk to somebody, and I don't think I'm qualified to address the situation around us here, and I'm going to have a kumbaya moment somewhere else. But can I tell you, that's not the way it is. Four things about missions. First of all, missions is about having an encounter with someone that you can introduce to Christ. You are bringing a person to come into an encounter with Christ. And when I say missions, I want you to think of anything when you open your front door to the time you close your door, you are in missions. People say, I want to go on missions. And they say, I can only spend $2,000. I say, give me your $2,000. I'll throw you outside, bring you back in 2 minutes later. I made $2,000. Pretty good deal. Because missions is everywhere. It's not about because you spend money on something. It's because of where you're at and what you're doing. Amen? Missions is about you in action and how you'll be changed by what you see and do. Now, you would not believe this, but every time I go down there, I lose about 10 pounds because it is hot down there. Oh, and I don't want to eat nothing. Well, I do at night when I'm comfortable, but you are sweating. It is hard work. And it's raining when it does the really weird rain things. And there are, I'm an exterminator, right? And there's bugs that scare me. I'm like, I think that spider's got 10 legs, you know? I mean, I don't know what that thing is over there. And Brent's over there one time playing with a spider. What is this called? I said, poisonous? I don't know. It's called the thing that killed you. And I mean, they're playing with stuff. I mean, one time, I forget who it was, she's playing with a spider or a scorpion. She goes, oh, it's not poisonous. I go, did you ID it? Did it say that? Did it come out to you and say, hey, I'm not the guy that you think I am, so you play with me. I grew up in the desert. We don't play with things that look like the bad guys. You know what I'm saying? If you're a snake, scorpion, spider, I'm out of it, okay? And so we're down there working, and we're just doing all this, and it's hard work. And they're always asking us, why are you doing this? Because we want to. And you'll find yourself, as you're doing this, that you are excited because, you know, honestly, I mean, I do construction. I don't want to go do it on my vacation, or not vacation, my time off. It's not a fun thing to do when you don't want to. But I love doing it down there because the most important thing is what we are doing is we are making a difference, not for this generation, but for the next generation. Because why shouldn't they grow up and have fresh water? Why shouldn't they have smoke not coming in their house while they're living? So that way, a generation later, someone says, well, you mean we used to have bad water? Oh, yeah, but that's a long time ago. Why wouldn't we have that now? You see, it should be the new norm, right? And that's what we're creating. We are helping the next generation of saying, you don't have to drink water that makes you sick. You don't have to be around a place that the smoke is hurting your lungs. Amen? So, but you're in action doing that. Missions is about trusting. People all the time say, I don't know, I really want to go, but I don't know if I can get that kind of money. I don't think I know anyone, unless Bill Gates is your relative, to say, I just got this extra money laying around and I just got to go do something with it. But God always provides. I think of that story, those guys, when they dropped that guy down, that's trusting because they made a hole in a roof and they're standing next to it. Okay, now listen, I don't like heights and I really hate roofs because I know what's holding them up and I'm a fat guy, so I think of the theory of me stepping on something soft or slipping, and I keep thinking, that's not good. These guys got a hole and they're standing by just looking down, like, because they had to get close to drop the rope, right? Have they ever seen the Coyote and the Roadrunner cartoons where they dig a hole in the ground, the dude falls through? You know what I'm saying? You don't do that, okay? It's just not a good idea. If there's any engineer in the room, please tell me that's a bad idea. But missions is about trusting. You know, you're going to fly a normal airplane. We don't fly the other airlines that nobody can pronounce. We fly the big ones, okay? I do take care of that part of it. But, you know, when you're landing on this thing that looks like a postage stamp on a cliff, you're like, I hope this guy's been here before, man, because it ain't much. I mean, yeah, when you drop, it's crazy. But, you know, you're in a different environment. You see guys with guns, that's the army. They're actually in charge of policing the area. It's very safe. I want to see those guys with the guns because I know the other guys with the other guns won't be around. So I like the army guys. They're good. You know, again, you're in a different environment, and you are trusting every day what God is doing for you. Amen? The last part is missions, about living your life so that all can see your faith at work. You're there just saying, I am from a different place. And they always ask where we're from, and it's hard to say. You know, you can't say, well, you go north of Gorst and you cut over from, you know, Brownsville, there you find us, right? They don't get Gorst, okay? And I just say Seattle, Northwest, whatever. But you're trying to explain to them what's going on, and what they really want to know is, because there's planes going over, this, is that your plane? No, I'm kind of right here, right now, you know. But you have to explain to them, I flew here to be with you. I didn't come here to play with concrete. I came here to make your concrete place better. I came here to build a stove so that you will have a better place to live and breathe. I came here to put a water filter so when you drink your water, you don't get a stomach virus and you're sick all the time. Missions is about encounters. But encounters require work. I'm going to tell you another secret. This is like a secret, like I'm confessing everything today, but I'm pretty much lazy, okay? Just don't tell my wife this, she knows. But when it comes to going to the store, I don't like going to the store because I'm always on the road getting materials. I'm always the man, mall, Home Depot, getting stuff. I don't want to go to any kind of store to get stuff. So when we're home and she says, hey, we need this, I'm like, really? Pull my phone up, go to Amazon, boom, I'll be here in 2 more days. My job is done. It's awesome. I buy so much stuff. I don't know who's paying the bill, but all I know is this is, I mean, I've got stuff for my trucks coming there. I got materials for jobs coming. I got parts there. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know how they do this. I just don't. I'm amazed how much stuff they have. So anyway, I'm into buying all this stuff because why? I don't want to do anything else, right? I'm lazy. But, you know, I can't sit there and type in, go to my neighbor and share faith. Amazon will not do that. I talked to someone that worked at Amazon. I asked him today. He said no. They won't evangelize for me. Why? It's my job. You see, when I read that about going, it doesn't say Bill or Fred or Steve. In words only I can see, it says Craig. My job is to evangelize. My job is to share faith wherever I go. But it costs me work. I have to get off the couch. I have to go and do things. Again, it's the Great Commission. How many of you grew up in the 70s watching cartoons? You can admit it. Come on. I'm going to show you something, and you're going to remember this guy, because I watched a lot of cartoons when I was a kid. Remember this guy, Verb? Oh, come on, you know it. He had some friends, Conjunction Junction, you know, the Bill guy. Come on, Schoolhouse Rock, it's awesome. It's the only way I passed high school. What's this guy do all day? He does stuff. Because what he does is he rakes, he plows, he boats, he does all this stuff. Remember that cartoon and everything he's doing? He's doing all this stuff and he's just doing it. You see, could you imagine Verb on a mission trip? He don't need a plane. He's already got the cape, right? You see him flying around. I don't see him eating much because, you know, but must do. But at the end of the day, he's doing stuff. The difference between you and Verb is simply this. He's got a really cool cape. That's it. You can be Verb. And the only way that you can be Verb is you got to put that foot in front of the other one. One of the things that I love about Abundant Life is the fact that people love to serve the Lord here. I was here many years ago. I won't say when, but let's just say I had hair back then. I could see my shoes. But at the end of the day is, when I came back, I talked to Pastor Steve. I said, listen, I really feel like I need to fulfill this call of missions, and I'm going to pursue missions, and I'm going to leave my church, and that way they can, because I knew I couldn't pastor a church and do mission at the same time. And so I said, I feel like that's God called me to do this. And he goes, well, come on up and be my missions pastor. And so I came up, and I tell you this not to be a woe story, but, you know, we were a small church. We grew it, or we didn't grow it. Christ grew it. We went through a building program to a really big building. We had a merger. We had a church split. Yay. I was pretty beat up when I came back. I was pretty done with church. I was like, you know, church would be a great place if it wasn't for people. I was in a bad place, okay? I'm much better now. Much better. Prozac helps out. And I remember telling Pastor Steve, I said, hey, I just need a few months. I'm ready. Just give me a few months. And he goes, okay. He goes, how about Easter? We'll talk. Okay. So he comes up to me Easter, goes, hey, you ready? I said, Easter, this year or next year? I don't know what's going on. Because what I found when I came back was simply this. I saw what everyone was doing, and they were so excited about serving the Lord. And I was just so burnt out. I just needed some more time. So I took a few more months. But the thing that pulled me back out of that burnout stage was I knew that God had something greater and bigger for me. Because, you know, it's really easy to say, I used to do this, I did that, this God did this for me. And you kind of want to retire on your faith life. Am I there? But God doesn't do that. God is living for today, because God has to use you for tomorrow, not yesterday. I mean, do you ever wonder why in your car the windshield is really big, but the rearview mirror is really, really small? Okay, because you're always going forward, right? You're not going backwards. And so God really got a hold of me and said, you got to focus on this. And I did. I was chomping the bit to get out there, but I was going through a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you real quick on how the school came about, because it's a great story. So about 8 years ago, when we were pastoring a church, this lady came to me who ran the school, started a school. And she goes, Pastor, you got to come down and check out the school. See, I knew missions was going to be where I wanted to be at some point in my life because I had a heart for it. But I was in a small church, and we didn't have the time or resources. So I just kept saying, oh, I can't go. I'm busy. I'm going to get my hair cut that day. I'm mowing the lawn. I had 3 years of reasons why I didn't go. Just 3 years. She kept asking me real nice, come on down, come on down. And I just had reasons. Finally, I ran out of reasons. I think she kept track. And so my wife and I and another couple in the church, we flew down. And it's like in those movies when you see, you know, the hillside with all the homes built on them out of concrete and boards and stuff that looks super unsafe. And you see the cars that are all rusty and driving, car parts falling off. And you see lots of people in the streets. And you see homes, and the door opens up, 20 people walk out because they all live there. It was like that, right? But there was something different, though, because when I pulled up to the school, out came a bunch of cute kids. I mean, they were the cutest thing you ever saw. And they were happy. And I saw a staff that was great with kids there. And within an hour, I knew God was calling me to be there. Because it wasn't to just be a part of that school. And she was asking me to take it over. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah. So much for listening to that one, huh? But it wasn't just to be a school. My vision was to have a community center where we can reach adults and make people's lives better by just loving them and giving them the tools they were going to have to use to do things, but we want to give them a chance. And so basically, we took it over, and we had to move the building real quick because the place we were at, they wanted to charge us like crazy money. Like, I can't even tell you how much. It was crazy. And so we were saying, we got to find a building that we can go to. And again, this is a very small little area. It's about the size of, you know, when you go through Gorst and that little triangle, you go up to Belfair and back through Belfair and back along the highway. What is that, like two buildings there, four buildings? That's about the size of Izzo, really, really small. And so how are you going to rent a building there when it's just homes? And I never saw this before, but there's this building that had a church that was closed down, and we were trying to rent the school before, but they never could. And there's a school there. And so they had offered Let's see, let me patch up there. So that's kind of what the building looked like when we rolled up to look at it. And so we had a chance to move into there, so I had to meet with all the locals, all the people that live there. And they said, you got to meet a few people. I thought, you know, like, what, 10, 15 people? They rang the bell, like 60 people just come flying in this thing. I'm like, whoa, time out. And I just shared our heart about reaching their community and giving them the tools to be successful and the things that we could do. And they said, you cannot rent this building from us. We will let you do it for free. Just got to pay the water and stuff like that. And I said, that's awesome. And I kept asking about, that church right there, because that church is like the old school, I mean, the ones you see in the movies where it's all, you know, you walk in, there's nothing there. It's just basically a front of concrete. There's a steel roof that's leaking really bad. That tower, there's a set of stairs going to the tower that will scare anybody to go to. Not being used. And I kept saying, can we use this? Because I want to see a church there. No. So finally I says, what if we poured concrete from the front door here all the way to the front of that, put a roof on it, and call it church? Oh, you can do that. It's like, okay, whatever. So one of our projects is going to be is to do that, because I show you where the school is at. Now, by doing that concrete work, I'm going to be allowed to use these two offices now for our adult classes. And if you've been on the trips before, you've seen the pictures. We couldn't go in there because there was water damage and all that stuff in there. So that's our goal, is to enhance basically between the class and the church, put an adult section classes back there. You kind of see it back there. That's Pastor Hokal. He's been there almost 30 years. This guy preaches Sunday, two services. He preaches Tuesday and Thursday. He teaches on the radio. He's planted four churches that he speaks at regularly. This guy is the Guatemalan verb. I tell you what, he is all about just doing stuff for the community. Great guy. Just loves what he does. So our goal for this year going down is that we won't need to continue building relationships. We always do that. That's the thing that is very important to us, by how we talk and care for one another. We're going to provide a medical clinic. Last time we did almost 80 some odd people there. And their medical clinics before were different. The government would do it. They walk in, they stick them with a shot. They, you know, give them one pill or something. That was it. We would talk, take some vitals, get information from them, pray for them. Just talk and find out what some issues are going on. And for the moms, that's huge. Because imagine if you're a parent and your child didn't have access to good medical care. And they get cuts a lot. No one knows how to clean them, you know, because they don't have the equipment for it. So that was a huge thing. We're going to bring clothes and shoes. Ben started doing this a couple years ago. He would roll up. I mean, you know, Ben's got like this big old suitcase. And I thought, man, he's got a lot of clothes in there. And he would open it up and it'd be full of shoes, little kid shoes. I'm thinking, how do you get all these shoes, dude? I mean, is he going to neighborhoods and parks and stuff and taking shoes when the kids aren't looking? I mean, how's he doing this? And I figured out, you know, if Ben can bring shoes, why don't we all get behind this and help out Ben? So we're going to bring some shoes, some clothes, because they get a lot of stuff from the States, like that, big packets and stuff, but sometimes they're walking around with just stuff that's stained. I mean, would you really want to give someone something bad and say, Jesus loves you, here's a shirt that basically should be a hand towel in my garage, you know? We want to give them something nice, so we're going to be doing that. The gate, I don't know if you'll see it a little bit later on. All metal cannot stand out there because it's so dry and rusty. Everything just rusts through, so we're going to do some welding on the gate and fix it and paint it, because you have to put this oil kind of enamel paint on there that blocks out the damage, but it's no fun. We're also going to build stoves that we did before. You'll see that there. We're going to do more water filters, and we're going to get those two rooms done. So that's a big project we're going to do this year. Our dates are July 20th through 28th. Now, that is a Saturday to a Sunday, so you're going to miss work for 5 days. So you're not missing a whole lot of time. We're going to be in, we're going to be out, but you're going to do so much while you're there. It's going to be a great thing. Now, here's the big one. Everyone wants to know, how much is it? You ready for this? $1 million. Okay, I'm just kidding. I always wanted to say that. $1,725. Now, you're thinking, that's a lot of money. Almost $1,000 is to fly you there. If we had our own jet, you'd be saving some money. So fundraiser, Pastor Ken, that's a good idea. You know, we should get our own little Gulfspring. That's your cost of getting down there. But the thing is, that's going to put you down there. It's going to house you. You're going to have this coffee that will change your life if you're a coffee drinker. You're going to eat great food, but you're going to see people that will change your life, because you're just going to be amazed at how they're doing life and how they're receptive to what's going on. So, $1,725, say to the person next to you, Okay, I got the camera. Did anybody have a heart attack? No, because you know why? Everyone says that. You know, that's a lot. I get it. But didn't I say before, it's about trusting God? If God will provide, then he's gonna guide you through it, right? I have not had anyone come up to me when I talk about a trip and say, yep, here you go, boom. It's all right there. No, they have to wait and let God show them how they're going to do it. Unless Bill Gates is your relative, you probably got to, you know, do some kind of money thing. But God always shows up what we're doing. Amen? Amen. So here's the great thing is, when you leave, you're going to get one of these cool pieces of paper. This is awesome. But you're going to say, well, I'm ready to do something right here and now. That's awesome because you know what? We have already rethought that for you. So instead of catching you out there, we're going to have you go to the cafe where Ben and everyone's going to be there, and we got a sign-up list where you can say, I'm interested. We actually have two informational meetings. We've done one at second service and one afterwards a week apart. So you can't say, I don't know how to get to the meeting because now we've done it. So we have taken all the excuses out. All you got to do is simply this. Pray, and if God is prompting you to go, then go to the meeting. Check it out. Hear what's going on. If God is telling you not to go, then be a part of the prayer and the support for it. You know, we think so many times in war, we see the army doing stuff, we're like so amazed. But you know, for that many troops to be somewhere, it takes a whole lot of people to get them there. Right. There's a lot of logistics that have to take place. And maybe you can't go for very many reasons, but you can be a part, first of all, by praying. Second of all, by being a part of what we're doing. We're gonna be getting stuff here ready and collecting shoes and things like that. And then third, if financially you can do it. You know, where you take offerings on a regular basis, you can say, I want to, you know, put this towards Guatemala. But this is a church thing. This isn't a go team thing. Right. When we go, if you can't go, then we are going to represent you. Like when I go up there, they always say, are you the pastor at church? I'm like, well, of course I am. You know what I say? No, Pastor Steve is the pastor, and they know him. They've never met him before, but they know his name. We go there, we represent him and you. So, when you think of this and say, how am I going to do this? Well, first of all, like I said, you got to pray. Pray and believe. Because God will do an incredible thing if you allow him to. It's a big request, but he is a big God. Right. So I'm going to close in prayer for you. And then on your way out, you're going to grab one of these. And if you're even a slightly remotely interest is piqued, go in the cafe. Ben is there and other people are going to be there with him. And there's a cool slideshow to look at and a thing to sign up for. But just go and check it out. But most of all, pray. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.alfc.us or download our app. We hope that you will join us every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m.